give God a good praise. Hallelujah. The Lord is blessing us morning by morning, new mercies we continue to see, and He's also bringing new parishioners, new members into our assembly, and I believe it is my responsibility to make sure that we seek out, encourage, and release individuals to serve the Lord with whatever gifts or abilities that He has bestowed upon each and every one of them. So to that fact, I just want to say, Clyde, I don't think I've seen you have so much fun on the platform in a long time. Let's do this. Thank you for using your gifts and abilities. I was here at Thursday night practice, and Twyla, faithful Twyla, just going on the song, you know? And she's going, Sister Bishop, I was looking for one of these. You have to get me next time, okay? All right. Nobody said church has to be boring. Right. Amen. Sister Monique Faulkner, where are you, Monique? It was nice to see you on the platform. You have a beautiful voice. Please, please continue to use it. Now, Monique, you know, when Satan fell, he landed in the choir loft. So don't get sidetracked. Don't get distracted. Remain spiritually alert and use your gifts. Sister Diane Brown, Avian Diane, it's also nice to see you on the platform. Diane, you don't know this, but does creative dance, and so I'm going to encourage her one Sunday to bless us with a creative dance in the midst of the worship service. Thank God for that. Lawrence and Dagmar, you raised three awesome boys. Well, thank you for that. Four. Brent's not around, but four awesome boys. It was nice to see Tyvon just get up and say, Pastor, let me just fill in for you. Yeah. You know? And that's great. Thanks, Tyvon. Yes. Handsome young man.
Yes.
I saw some people checking you out. I have to talk to you about that later on. I can be your agent. We can make a few dollars.
Car wash.
Amen. Brother Ed has been with us. This is the second time fellowshipping with us. He was with us, him and Glenda with us when we were over the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But on the second go around, I said to Brother Ed, I want your experience the second time around to be different than the first time, and to be different from what you've had with other churches. And you don't know this, but you know, we talked about becoming a member. We talked about getting involved in leadership. He's become a member. He's gotten involved in leadership. He's done a lot of itinerant preaching with different church groups over the years, and I said to Ed, you know, Ed, why don't we go one step further? Let's talk to our district office, and let's get some credentials in place for you, and that's good to show yourself approved, a workman that's ready to write in the word of truth. And so he's gone ahead, and everything I've asked him to do, he's done it.
Amen.
And so he's in the process of credentialing with the POC as well. And so I thought, you know, let's take it one step further. Let's see what he can do for communion and have him preach for us. And so I'm always looking for opportunity to give people an opportunity to get blessed. My pastor, former pastor, Reverend Johnny Collins, gave me a ton of opportunity. Even though he knew I was faking and shaking sometimes, he still gave it to me. So I want to give Ed an opportunity to bring the word this morning for us. Thank you for serving in communion. We'll get better as we continue. And come and share with us what God has placed on your heart. And why don't you just welcome him this morning? Right?
Good Praise God. Amen. I feel very privileged today to share the word. And I'm relying on my slides that are up there. I don't have any format in front of me. I made the PowerPoint, so I'm relying on it. Praise God. I came in here this morning, usually I'm on the worship team, and I'm thinking about what my responsibilities are and what I have to do, and I'm all geared up for it and everything. But when I came in this morning, I knew I wasn't participating in any of that, and I just sat back and listened to the music, and I saw everything coming together, and all the worship team taking things to another level, and in music and all the workers at the back and all the functioning going on in the church. And I thought, wow, this is really special. It's like everything's been set up. And I'm speaking today on the dedication of the temple. And I felt like this is a dedication day for us. Everything seems to be set in order and everybody's doing their jobs. It's real exciting. Really exciting to be here today. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give a brief word of thanks to the Lord before I start, which is my custom always to give God the glory, because the Holy Spirit's the great teacher, not us, and we're just repeaters of his word. Father in heaven, Lord, I give you praise today, Lord, for another chance to look into your powerful word, Lord, the word of life. Lord, I thank you for saving me, delivering me out of sin, calling me, and Lord, you are still calling people today out of sin and calling them into a work in the ministry. So, Lord, we give you thanks now as we look into your word. Lord, we pray for an unction to speak your word and deliver it. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will direct it to the hearts of the people, the things you want to tell them, not so much what the preacher says, but Lord, what the Spirit, your Spirit, says to their heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. The title of the message today is What Really Happened at the Dedication of the Temple. And we're going to read these scriptures here that are written on the PowerPoint. And it says there, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told or numbered for multitude. And the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place. And back one slide, please. It brought the ark of the covenant unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests were present were sanctified, and did not wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman, Jeduthun, all their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. They came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and a priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. This is the introduction. I'm going to have a big introduction to this message. It's just a short introduction, but I just want to say that I love the word of God. I play music all my life. I'll never stop playing music. I filled my house with music instruments. I love to praise God every day with music, and I love to sing. I spend my days singing, and songs are always going through my mind, but my real passion is for the word of God. That's my main passion in my life. My mother was a preacher. My father was a preacher. I listened to all the messages. I love the preaching of the word, and I don't want to just be a listener, but I want to be a vessel that it flows through. And I love the word of God in my life, and I want it to be a foundation in my life. And the only way it's going to be a foundation is not by listening to a textbook reading of it, where I just read it out of the word or hear somebody else read it to me, but I want to know what sense it's making behind it. And so when we begin to hear it with our spirit and get it into it and say, this is for me, I get this. When you get it like that, that's what builds up the faith in your life and builds up a foundation in your life. And so we need that word to make that foundation. You may feel strong, but one day you might not be strong, and you need that word to be undergirding you, a foundation in your life. And so I really love the Word of God, and it's my prime passion, learning it and understanding it and sharing it. Praise the Lord. This is how I break down my texts. I find a milestone place in God's Word, the dedication of the temple, what happened on Mount Carmel when Israel was reformed under Elijah, the garden, the Lord's Supper, these milestone places in God's Word. I read them through, and when I read them through, I list all the vital elements that form the setting and the events in it. I read them all, and I categorize each element that is in those in that portion of Scripture. And then I give each element its proper value. I don't just choose one little thing out of it, but I find out everything that's going on so I can find the real will of God for my life and for others as I share God's will with them. And so this is how I break down all my texts, and it seems like a simple way to study God's Word, but it's very helpful, and I encourage you to do it as well. The elements that are listed here in this portion of Scripture are the 9 years of building the temple, the dedication day itself, what took place. Solomon's prayer is an element in here. God's response is one of the elements, and the people's response is also an element. And also included in this text is God's answer to Solomon's prayer, because he did pray a prayer, and he didn't just pray to be heard, but he asked God for things, and God responded to that prayer. God will always respond to our prayer. So these are the 6 elements I want to minister on today. And I just encourage you to be patient in here, because God has a word for you today, I believe. He always has a word for us. It says there, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him before the ark. Let's all say that word, all.
All.
All, yes. And I want you to know that there's many lessons in God's word. And the first lesson here is that church is for everyone. These people had worked 9 years, gave almost a decade of their life putting this church together. They came there every day and worked hard. And when people are working, they're not just working. They're anticipating what this building is going to be used for. They're anticipating God, that he's going to move. And so all these people put heart and soul into this place for 9 long years. And they all worked very hard. Not just one person, but they all worked hard. And I want you to know that nobody is better than anybody else. The carpenters aren't any better than the stonemasons. The stonemasons are not any better than the laborers. Everybody worked hard. And everybody has a part in church. And maybe you don't think somebody else is, you don't imagine they're thinking much about the church, but everybody has their thoughts and their concerns. And everybody is working hard. And church is for everyone. It's not the second home for the pastor. It doesn't belong to the leaders. You know, maybe you're sitting there today and you sort of have this air or thought in you that the church belongs to the people that have been here the longest. But I want you to know this church does not belong to them because they've been here the longest. The church does not belong to those people that paid the most tithes. The church does not belong to the board members. The church is for everyone. This place is the house of God. That's what it is, God's house. And God is saying, whosoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. And so you, if you're sitting there today and you're new to this church, even just coming here lately, maybe it's even your first time, I want you to know this church is for you. This building is put here for you. God put it in place so you could come here and get blessed. It doesn't belong to somebody else. And it isn't our little club that we want it to be our little way. And we're going to keep it our way. And maybe if you can fit in, then you'll belong here. No, this church is for you. And God wants to bless you. The church is here for you. And the blessings of God are here for you. Amen. And maybe you think, as you're sitting there today, you're not maybe able to express yourself as well as you'd like to express yourself in praise to God. And some people are so good at expressing themselves, they sing better and they can express themselves in song better. Maybe some people are more eloquent in praising God and praying to God than you. But I want you to know God wants to bless you today.
Amen.
He wants to fill you today.
Yes.
What does the word say? It says, whosoever believeth, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth, not whoever is gifted to do it, but whoever believes. And God wants to fill you today. God wants to touch you by his Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants you to have a touch from him so you will have the assurance that he's with you. Assurance about many things. You see, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, not just experience, but the third person in the Godhead, the Spirit of God himself is a down payment on everything else we have. We haven't got the glorified body now. We can't walk on those streets of gold now. But in Ephesians 1 and 14, it says that God has given us a down payment, a guarantee that we're going to have all those things.
Amen.
And that down payment is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let me tell you, when you have the Holy Spirit, along with the Holy Spirit comes his presence.
Amen.
If I'm around you, you're going to hear my voice. If I'm around you, you're going to get an air of what I'm acting like.
Amen.
And what I'm saying and what I'm trying to project. And when the Holy Spirit comes around you, you're going to feel something. You're going to get the drift of what he wants to do in your life.
Amen.
You see? And so God wants to give you that guarantee today. And if you're sitting there and you think, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to receive something or what God wants to give me, I want you to know that God wants to give you that guarantee.
Amen.
He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can have that assurance.
Amen.
Why would God want to give somebody else assurance and not give you the assurance? He wants you to be assured you're going to heaven too.
Amen.
And so you see, the house of God is for everyone. It's for everyone to be blessed. You know, I sat down with people sometimes and some people, they have this air about them that they have a special way to get the blessings of God. They have a special way to pray where they can get right into the throne room of heaven and just get the answers, get the answers, get the answer. But I want you to know God wants every one of us to get an answer.
Amen.
He wants everyone to be blessed. He wants everybody to experience the power of prayer in their life and receive, you see. And so even though this portion of scripture has not formally been misrepresented, I think there's some things in this scripture that were either left in the dark or assumed. That maybe somehow the priests were the ones that got the blessing. Or somehow they were having maybe a prayer meeting at nighttime. And as they were praising God, God was moved emotionally and just blessed them. And they were slain in the spirit and couldn't minister. Or something like that happened. And maybe you're tempted to think that you have to go have a special meeting somewhere so that God can bless you. But I tell you, God wants us all to come together so that we can all be blessed. And when everything's set in order, the blessings will fall on everybody.
Amen.
God's blessings are for everybody.
Amen.
And I want, if you're thinking any different today, I want you to be encouraged that God has everything for you. And it's not just some people get the giftings, but Jesus rose and gave gifts unto men, and he wants to pour his gifts out. And the Holy Spirit is here dividing severally who he will, the giftings. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Church is for everyone. Element two is the dedication day itself. The dedication day itself. I like to know where everybody is when it's church time. I'm always thinking about everybody. And Glenda's called me a social butterfly many times. But I like to visit. I like to fellowship. And I wonder where everybody is. I wonder where all the ministers are. What they're all doing. How their churches are going. But I like to know where everybody is. And when we look into these scriptures, we're trying to find out what is really taking part in them. Because as we look there and see where everybody is and what is actually going on in place, we will find the context of what is really going on there. The context. The context. And when we get the context of what is truly happening, then we can form a mental picture of what God wants to do, what he did there, and what he could do again for us. And so the concept comes after the context. And so we want to look here and find out where everybody is. Just back up one slide. Where everyone is. We want to find out where everyone is. And so it says here that all these people were gathered before the ark. They sacrificed animals before the ark. They brought this Ark of the Covenant there, first outside, and all the animals were prepared. Thousands of animals were brought there to be sacrificed. That all the people that were sacrificing the animals in place and all ready to sacrifice them, they put that ark there and they sacrificed before the ark. Then they took this ark, which was a symbol of the presence of God, into its place in the Holy of Holies. And they weren't allowed to touch this ark, even to steady it if it teetered, because it was a symbol of the power of God. And so they stuck staves through it, rods through the rings to carry it with. And the priest took this ark into the Holy of Holies and pushed it into the room and then pulled the poles out. And after they pulled the poles out of it, they left it there and they came out. And so when we read these scriptures here, like this verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out. Everybody say the priest came out. The priest came out. So that's where they were in there putting the ark in its place and they came out. And so we see where everyone is. The priests are standing on the east end of the altar with the singers. So we can see the whole congregation is there. The priests are there. The singers are there. And the whole congregation is outside. One time I worked I worked in construction all my life, I worked on a hotel. We were demolishing the restaurant and redoing it completely over. I was working for the general contractor, so I felt like I had the run of the place there, and I was a foreman, and I had workers that were working under me, and when I was working in that place, I just sat anywhere I wanted to sit and put my feet up on the chairs there and turned up my ghetto blaster and worked along with my music and had a good old time, and I felt like I owned the place, you see? And that's because I worked there and I renovated that hotel, renovated that restaurant. But I want you to know when it came time to turn that back to the owners again and they got that restaurant in their hands, I didn't come in there and turn my ghetto blaster up anymore. I did not put my feet up on those nice chairs once they got it turned back over to them. And so you see, at this time, there's nobody sitting in that building. There's nobody officiating in that building. It's dedicating this building to God. You see, and so everything is set in its place so it can be dedicated and turned over to the Lord. See, that's what's going on here. And there's nobody sitting inside there saying, well, they haven't started yet. Let's have another cup of coffee. No, everybody is outside. Everybody is together. That's where everybody is. God wants everybody together. And next slide, please. These people were all prepared. They all brought these animals ahead of time. They didn't say, you know what, there's so many animals, we haven't got somebody to sacrifice, and we only got a couple people working here. They had everything set up. They prepared everything for this special day. They prepared it all. I believe people got their sleep. I believe everything was done, and they were all anticipating this special, special day. You know, I've been in many churches. I worked with Native people for many, many years, evangelizing. I worked in churches that were predominantly Caribbean. And I know all about Jamaican time, and I know all about Indian time. And I know all about burn the candle at both ends time. And you see, Pastor, people, they love the Lord, and they know the Lord. But they also love all the things money can buy. They love all the things that you can get and get and get. And so they spend so much time, and I'm ministering to myself today too, we spend so much time trying to get everything we want to get. But then we know we have to work for the Lord, so we work for the Lord too. And we burn the candle at one end. And then we burn the candle at the other end. And we're so burnt out come Sunday morning, we haven't prepared ourselves to receive from the Lord. We plunk our sorry self down in the seat, lift up our hands and say, Lord, fill me. And God's thinking, there's no more room to fill anything in there. All you're thinking about is all the things you're doing, you know? And so we're so consumed with all the things we love to do and all our busyness and everything that we haven't really prepared ourselves to receive something from God. But I want you to know it takes preparation to get something from God. You have to be prayed up. You have to have a song in your heart already before the song leader gets up there and he doesn't have to pump you up so that you get happy. But you already got joy in your heart. You already got a song in your heart.
Amen.
There's a big value in preparation. We need to learn something about that. We need to learn how to prepare ourselves. We don't even want to stay up so late Saturday night and watch all the movies and entertainment we can, have the greatest time ever, and then we're so tired we can't even bring ourselves in on time on Sunday morning. You know, I wonder about people, you know, it's like they do know God. You can look at them, you can see they know the Lord, they love church, you can see them entering in and everything, but it's like something is in them that they're desiring. They have a desire in the back of their mind, and even though they want to serve God, they're thinking about something else they want as well, and they're not fully surrendered. Maybe let's go to the next slide. There is a scripture I just want to share with you. There's a scripture. This is Solomon's son, Jeroboam. And this is what the Bible says about Jeroboam, and we haven't got it on the slide there today, but it says that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to serve the Lord. That's Solomon's son, Rehoboam, not Jeroboam, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam did evil because he prepared not his heart to serve the Lord. So it's a big thing to prepare your heart. Big thing to prepare your heart. And I just encourage you today that don't just jump into church, but prepare your heart before you come. Lesson four here is the value of unity. We see all these people and all these people came together to make one sound to be heard in praising God. And I've been in a lot of worship teams. I've seen a lot of struggles between worship team members and different churches, and I've been in some churches where there's been a dozen people on the worship team, all bringing their instruments and all trying to blend together, you know, and so our objective is to make one sound and be in unity. I think this is a really good church. I can really see people coming together in unity. It's not like I'm saying there is no unity and this church needs it. I think there is really something good about this church that is coming together. But I've seen a lot of places where there's trouble in the worship teams, you know, and it just makes me sad that you can have a whole church and everything can be so good and yet disruption and confusion on the worship team, and it disrupts the whole church. And sometimes I've been in these teams and somebody said something really harsh to me and it hurt my feelings. I felt like running away. I was thinking about the day I'm going to run away and how long I'm going to stay. But I had to get over it. And sometimes I've said things like to some other member on the worship team, like, what are you doing that for? You know, and then I see a confused look in their face and I realize I said something bad or condescending, you know. But we got to get over these things so that we can make one sound. So we can praise the Lord with one sound in unity. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot of value in unity. And so it takes something to forgive one another. And I just encourage you today, that's what it's going to take. A lot of forgiveness and a lot of love. That's how marriage works. That's how worship teams work. That's how the church works. Praise the Lord. This is Solomon's prayer, element number three. He prayed an appropriate prayer for the event. It was a prayer on behalf of the people, and it was a very good prayer. I'm not going to look into it too deep today, but Solomon's prayer was a big part of this, and he had a scaffold built for him. He knelt down on that scaffold so that when he knelt down, he wasn't below the people on the ground, and they were standing, and all their bodies were above him, but they built a scaffold, so when he kneeled down, he was at the same height as them, and he could pray for them, and he prayed an appropriate prayer for the occasion and made a request to God to be in this building that they built for him. Next slide, please. And it says, now when Solomon made an end of praying, that the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. This is lesson number 6. There's 2 signs. It seems that people like to pick out one little portion of God's word and just stretch it as far as they can stretch it. But I like to look into everything. I want to know the whole will of God. I want to know everything God says, because sometimes our lives can get convoluted. All our circumstances can come against us. Our minds play tricks on us. But when it comes down to everything, I want to be able to refer back to what God has said and know what God really wants me to do. And so when we look into the scripture, we see there was 2 signs. Everybody say 2 signs.
2 signs.
There's 2 signs here. One is the fire that came down from heaven. It burnt up all these thousands of animals that were in this altar, 15 by 30 by 15 feet high, and it consumed all this sacrifices. And everybody saw the smoke rising up to heaven. Everybody saw that visible sign that could not be copied. And then they saw a cloud fill this house of the Lord, and God filled that house. And so all the priests that were outside and all the singers and everybody saw that house filled with the glory of God, the Shekinah, visible glory of God, shining out of that place, and the priests couldn't even enter into it. It said they couldn't stand to minister, and they couldn't enter into it. Sometimes people just want to look at one portion of scripture and they say, well, they couldn't stand. Well, maybe they fell under the power or something. No, you got to look into the scripture and find out what it's really saying. It said they couldn't stand to minister. It means they can't perform their duties. They couldn't enter into the building because the power of God was so strong. So when God gives signs, we want to read out what those signs really were. Then after we see what they are, we find the context of what went on. Then we start to get an idea. Why would God do that? What did God want to accomplish? Concept. Praise the Lord. And so when all these people, that was God's response. Here's the people's response. It says they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. This is how they actually worship God. This is the way these people responded to the signs they saw. It says they saw these 2 signs. And this is how they responded. I like to look at these scriptures. This is the very same thing that happened at Mount Carmel when Elijah called down the fire of God from heaven. Fire came down, consumed the sacrifice. And it says there that the people fell on their faces and worshiped the Lord and said, the Lord is God. Very same thing happened there. They saw the fire, and it says they fell on their faces. I did a study throughout the Word of God, and I looked up all the places where it says they fell, or the Spirit fell on them, or people fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. Fell at his feet and worshiped him. And so I did a study on all these scriptures where it's talking about falling, and they fell, to find out what is really going on. I even write books and articles after I read all these things. I get them straight and then I want to pass them on. And so it says these people fell on their faces. One time I was in an Easter play and I was playing Jesus in the Easter play. I had to carry the cross up the aisle. While I was carrying the cross up the aisle, I had it on my back, and I had this unique way of acting, and I would trip myself and I'd go like that and fall down. Everybody told me I was a really good actor. Because I really fell, it looked like I really fell down. But I want you to know these people did not fall on their faces, trip and fall, and then wipe the gravel off their faces. What it means, they fell down, they were emotionally overwhelmed. And they voluntarily decreased their stature. And with their mouths, they weren't knocked out, but with their mouths they said, the Lord is God. They were not knocked out. They were wide awake. They just voluntarily decrease their stature, you see. I like to see how people worship God. And I would love to see people come and bow down before God and give their lives to God and say, the Lord is Lord of my life. Praise the Lord. This is how they actually worship God. Praise God. Next slide, please. How do we categorize Solomon's prayer? How do we categorize it? God, it came back to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, and he said, I have heard your prayer. This is God's answer to Solomon's prayer. God's answer to Solomon's prayer. He said, I heard your prayer. I heard it. Sometimes we pray prayers, we're not exactly sure whether God heard it, but believe me, God hears every word you say. And God is listening to the content in your prayer. He's listening to the content. Not so much how you pray. Some people are gifted. They can say everything really good. They're like born salesmen. They could sell you anything. Some people have voices that they could be a radio announcer. Everything they say sounds so smooth. And when they pray, it just sounds so good. They don't waste their words. Everything sounds so good. But I'm not talking about how people pray. I'm talking about what they pray. The content. And God is listening to our content. He's listening to everything. And lately, I'm getting more and more thoughtful about what I ask God and what I say. Because God's listening to my content. And he's going to answer my content. So I want to make sure I get it straight. And so God listened to the content of Solomon's prayer. And Solomon prayed this prayer. It was a good prayer. He gave thanks to God. He remembered the things that God had said from the past. He remembered his father David, the heritage that he received. And so it was a very good prayer. But to me, it seems like in this prayer, he made sure he covered the part where their welfare is taken care of. Their welfare. And so he said, if anything goes wrong, Lord, we want you to be in this house to take care of any problem. And I think when we pray, we're making sure that whatever we pray, we give thanks to God and everything, but we're going to make sure that we're covered, that God can help us if we get in trouble. And that seems like to be a predominant part of our prayer, that we make sure God is there to help us. And we want to get that point out. I got afflicted last year, and boy, I had to pray like I never prayed before. And I think a lot of my prayer was about my welfare and about my future. It seems like that's a predominant part of our prayer. And it's not that it's so bad, but God is listening to us. And God answered him, and he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. I will do something for them. You see, these people had reached a milestone. They reached a big event in building this church. And I think we come to times in our lives where we do so much, we feel like we've reached a victory. And I believe we've reached victories in this church. We've had some good events, and we're building and getting stronger. We just had a good Easter play. We cleaned the place up again. We brushed it up. We painted it up. And things are going ahead. And it's easy to think that we've put things into place. And there's leaders in place. And the song leaders are in place. And everything's set up. Wow, now I think it's time for me to sit back and think about some things I want to do for myself. You know, because the church will take care of itself. You know, but it's not that way. You see, God came back to Solomon. He never said, yes, as long as the leaders keep the church going, I will be there. As long as they keep sacrificing animals, I will be there. No, he said, if my people. Solomon prayed for the people, and God answered for the people. If my people, which are called by my name, if they'll do their part, then I'll be with them. God came to one of the descendants of one of the kings of Israel, and he said, I am with you when you're with me. I never read that scripture before. I just read it about a month ago. I'm with you when you're with me. I begin to look at my life and see how busy my life is, how many things I want to do. But God's saying, I'm with you when you're with me, not when you run all over the place. And I'm closing here. But I want to say this, that when you come to the house of God, you're looking to the minister to give a word, for God to give a word through the minister. You're looking for the word of God to minister to you. And I want you to get a word from the Lord today. I encourage you to listen to the word of God today. You may think things are in place and there's people in place to do things, but God wants you to move on with him. And I would encourage you to read several portions of scripture throughout this week. And one place I encourage you to look in is Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said, I don't count myself to have attained or reached a height in my life that I can stop. But I forget those things that are behind me, and I press on toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I got a reason why I'm doing things. I'm not just pressing on to say I'm pressing on, but I want to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. I want to seize a hold of God's calling in my life because God has called me. And I want to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. You know, Hebrews has 13 admonishments for us that say, let us. And one of them is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and set us off course. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, seeking him, looking for him to move in our life, waiting for him to bring to pass the things that he started, the author and the finisher of our faith, because he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. And we need to be zealous of good works. Whatever we can do, we jump in and do it. Zealous of good works. I encourage you to read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And there it'll tell you that we have precious promises. We're partakers of the nature of God, and we're sons of God and daughters of God. And it says, and beside this. And beside this. It's not enough just to be saved, but beside this, we're adding to our life virtue. Things that we clean up in our life that make us stronger for God. We add to that virtue knowledge. We add to knowledge temperance, self-control, brotherly kindness, and unconditional love and unconditional acts of service toward God. And it says, whoever does these things, you want a word from the Lord today, whoever does these things and abounds in these things, you'll never be unfruitful. Amen. As a minister. You'll never be unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But whoever lacks in these things is narrow-minded, narrow-sighted, like just in their own world. They forgot they were purged from their initial sins. But it says, wherefore the rather, my brethren, give diligence. You want to hear a word from the Lord? Here's what the word of God says. Give diligence. Give diligence. And it says, when you do these things, that an abundant entrance into heaven will be ministered unto you. An abundant entrance. In other words, when you come to heaven, the angels will just say, come on in. An abundant entrance, because we've been diligent in the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you today. Put it back to the pastor to close the meeting. Well, there's a lot for your consideration over the course of the week. I hope you will take some time to go through the book of Chronicles and read the events over again, maybe study some of the principles, and I hope that what was said today will be embedded into your heart and your spirit, and will be a source of motivation and encouragement to you. We thank God for your faithfulness, Brother Ed, in being obedient to what is laid on your heart to share with us today. And you know, last week when Brother Paul preached, he declared some things were going to happen. And you know, this week some things did happen, and there's some testimonies you hear later on. By the end of next week, I pray that we would hear some lives that have been touched and transformed, or some new revelation knowledge has been brought into somebody's life because of what you've allowed the Lord to use you to share with us today. So we give God thanks. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me today as we bring our service to a close and encourage you to get some of that good, some of those goodies sitting on the lower level of the foyer and enjoy a good Sunday afternoon fellowship with your brothers and your sisters.
Father God, today we want to give you praise and thanks for your goodness and your mercies towards us. Lord, I'm blessed that we can come and celebrate your name, lift up your name above every other name, to sing praises unto you, to fellowship, to worship you, God, without fear or hesitation, Lord, or persecution. And so, Lord, help us not to take this freedom for granted, but that every opportunity that is so presented to us, Lord, be seized, Lord, so that we can honor you. So I thank you for every person that is standing within the sound of my voice today. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for your word, God. I'm about the fellowship. I'm asking you to bless that as well. And so, Lord, may your spirit rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us as we go to our various places. You go with us as we go with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children say, amen. The Lord bless you, keep you until we meet again. Thank you.